something. So we were looking at this flyback last class. Looking at a CCM flyback. Hadn't done really anything clever with it as far as operation or topology. Just looking at a typical CCM flyback. But we wanted to go ahead and analyze the effect of the sleep inductance. It's going to be present. It's unavoidable. We can do things to reduce the magnitude, but we'll always have some. And using state plane analysis, we looked at what happens when the MOSFET turns off. Found that the magnetizing inductance gives us kind of a nice characteristic where it brings the MOSFET voltage up to its eventual peak VDS in our ideal circuit operation. But this leakage inductance really kills us, because after MOSFET's VDS reaches VG plus V over N, leakage inductance is still energized. It dumps into the output capacitance, causes this overvoltage. We looked at that on the state plane and then used our state plane analysis to solve the characteristics of this, solve for some example numbers that I'll use again today, that this leakage could cause us to exceed our rated voltage of the MOSFET potentially if this hadn't been considered in the design. So we looked at one loss mechanism, assuming that any of this ringing between leakage inductance and drain source capacitance damps out by the end of the diode conduction time. There is some loss, and it's equal to the energy that was in that inductor. Basically, just over the course of the period, lose all that energy, we have a 1/2 Li squared energy loss. This type of loss mechanism is present in really any converter which is not zero current switched. We've looked a lot at zero voltage switching so far, turning on a MOSFET with zero volts drain to source so we don't lose the energy in its output capacitance. Zero current switching, I've mentioned a couple times, very briefly, really a bigger thing for IGBTs and diodes that have these reverse recovery current tailing losses. Focus on ZVS MOSFETs because it's, you know, if you don't do it, that's the dominant loss mechanism as far as your parasitic capacitance and inductances. But I've mentioned a couple times, so once I start ZVSing, if I can get rid of those capacitive losses, then I kind of reveal these other losses. When I'm ZVSing, I can maybe push my switching frequency up. Some of the analysis we've done, we've said, okay, well, if it's ZVSing, I get rid of overlap loss, I get rid of capacitive loss, almost preventing me from going to infinite frequency. Well, you kind of uncover these additional loss mechanisms. So here, I have this significant leakage inductance. We looked at 35 microhenries, so this was a large loss. But regardless of my converter, if I have real devices, they'll have some inductance in series with the device. It's not going to be 35 microhenries, but it might be 5, 10 nanohenries. In my converter operation, I shut it off with current going through that inductance. The same thing is going to happen. I shut this MOSFET off, still has current here. It's going to dump into my CDS, cause an overvoltage, and most likely ring out before the end of the period. Because particularly when I go to this being 10 nanohenries and this being maybe some hundreds of picofarads, it's a very high frequency resonance. It's going to ring out. I'm going to end up with a 1/2 Li squared loss. Okay. That may not be something we analyze significantly in this class. I just wanted to mention this more generally. As you start eliminating loss mechanisms, you'll never get to zero switching loss. If you eliminate dominant loss mechanisms, you're just revealing additional secondary loss mechanisms. We're really going to focus on the dominant ones in this class. But nothing I teach you is going to get you to gigahertz switching. Sorry. Okay, that aside, we had this leakage switching loss and tried to get through a little bit of a motivation of how this clamping circuit works before the end of class. Hopefully that was enough to get you a head start on the homework. I'm going to look into this a little bit more today, hopefully in a way that is somewhat review for you after the homework. But I'm going to use this as a motivation for changes in topology to get around this clamping issue. Okay. So I looked at a general clamping circuit where I just said I have some voltage source and a diode that clamps the drain to source voltage, some voltage Vs. And I'm going to look in a little more detail at the operation of this general circuit on the next slide, and then look at some circuits to implement that. So my state plane, I'm going to sketch VDS and IL, and then my state plane I'll call MDS JL. These same two waveforms. Okay. So when I look at VDS in this flyback, I'm going to start at the FET turn off transition. And for my kind of first two sub intervals here, I'm going to see the same thing that we've looked at a few times. My leakage current IL starts at the magnetizing current after the FET shuts off. The diode cannot turn on until we raise its voltage so it's no longer reverse biased. So the magnetizing current is going to dump into CDS, giving us this constant ramp right here, IM over CDS, until a point here my output diode turns on. V1's going to turn on. That point is when I'm clamping VDS at VG plus V over N. At that point, my equivalent circuit becomes this here, because my V over N reflected back is shorting out my magnetizing inductance. This, as we solved, has a center at 1 when I normalize with base is equal to VG plus V over N. Resonance circuit here looks like, say, V base LC. Okay. So what I've sketched so far, start up here at JM, and I resonate over to a point where I hit MDS is equal to 1. This was my FET off. This is my D1 on. Okay. Yeah.
In this circuit and state plane. Mm-hmm. In the time interval you just drew, yeah, when the voltage is ramping to the DC operating point, mm-hmm, is the current constant because the inductor is much larger than the cap? Is that the assumption?
So this is a assumption that is valid if you design it to be valid. Okay. So base assumption there is that this definitely is a resonant interval, right? It's this circuit plus LM and just VG instead of VG plus V over N. So it still looks like a resonant circuit. The assumption is that I've designed this thing, I call it a CCM flyback, such that LM has small ripple. In order to achieve that, I picked a really big value of LM. So when I look in some small portion of the period, LM, it's a filter element, it's not a resonant element. So I'm going to still have a resonant circuit, but the resonant period of that is going to be orders of magnitude longer than my switching frequency. The dynamics of it are going to be orders of magnitude slower than this period. So what I've sketched here is a small piece of a resonant sinusoid that looks like this, and when my dynamics are that slow, it's a pretty good approximation to say this is just a linear segment, right?
Yeah.
This, same thing, because L is so much larger than C, I'm going to get a whole lot of voltage change and almost no current change. So this is a small piece of a sinusoid with the same frequency, but that kind of has this sort of a shape. If I just had nothing else and let that ring out.
Mm-hmm. I understand that in the design of this converter, LM is large.
Yeah.
But we're using LL in this.
But this is the circuit after, right? So this circuit applies, I'm still yellow, in the interval I haven't sketched yet. So this is what it is here.
Okay, so that's wrong. You're still using LM until you hit this DC off, like until you're above DC off.
Right. So let's do it here. The moment the FET turns off, this goes to an open, and I've got my capacitance here. So my circuit is VG, LM, LL, C, and then I've got this, oops, let's just reflect the diode and cap back through the transformer. And I've got a diode here, and my output voltage is V over N. Right. So initially, this voltage is more or less, oh, sorry, my inverting transformer. This and my diode. How's that going to flip around? That gets high for bias in this direction. Let me think about that. No, the other way. Don't often reflect diodes through transformers. Yeah, that makes more sense. So initially this voltage is zero, right? So this diode is off, and my resonance circuit has LM, LL, and CDS. It's not until that voltage goes up above VG plus V over N that this turns on, shorts out my inductor, and then I don't really care that that inductor happens to be there because this voltage dictates the voltage here. This is a zero small signal impedance. All the inductor current flows here, okay, and this does impact the rest of it.
I remember you saying that yesterday. I kind of forgot, and I was just trying to figure out where LM is removed and why the current's constant until a certain point. That makes sense.
So it doesn't have that second path until the diode gets on. So what we sketched is that interval. Now that output diode turns on, LM drops out of the circuit. This source goes to VG plus V over N, which is V base, and I begin this resonance. And my DC operating point is here. I have no DC currents, so the inductor current has to go to zero. The passive voltage has to block the base in order for this to reach any kind of DC constant steady state. Okay. My initial condition is here. This is my radius. Call it R. And I'm going to begin resonating in this direction. I'll go up to a point where, because now I'm looking at my behavior with this clamp. So wherever I hit MS on my drain to source voltage. So I'm going to resonate up until I hit ES. My current is going to ring in a downward direction. So I'll call this that point, label this MS, which is VS divided by V base. This is also R. Okay. At this point, my circuit changes. Because this diode will now turn on and clamp VDS at this VS, whatever my clamping voltage is. That's going to cause this to no longer be a resonant circuit. Because now I'm again shorting a voltage parallel capacitance. That's going to lock my VDS voltage in at this VS clamping voltage. And it's going to apply a fixed V base minus VS voltage across my inductor. By how I've designed this, VS is larger than VG plus V over N. Clamping the ringing above that. So that means that this voltage is going to be negative. It's going to ramp the inductor current down. Okay. So as I'm clamping, I ramp this inductor current down, ramp rate of VG plus V over N minus VS over L. At that point, this current that I just drew is flowing kind of in this direction, right?
From the base to LL, other way.
It is, what I've drawn is the rate of change of it, since it's decreasing in that direction, but the absolute value of the current is still here, in the direction that the diode will work. At this point, somewhere here, my current drops down to zero, and that's going to again change my circuit operation. The state plane, this is a linear subinterval where my voltage is clamped and my current is just decreasing. Once my current here hits zero, the diode is not going to be able to remain forward biased. My clamping diode. I'm having a rough time today with diodes. I apologize. Let's get rid of them. Do everything with MOSFETs and soft switch. We'll get there in a second. So, please excuse that mistake. When this hits zero, it makes more sense. That diode will shut off and my VS will stop clamping CDS. And I'm going to jump back once this shuts off into a resonant circuit, really the same one that I had in this interval. We'll show up here. The change that I've made to the circuit is by ramping this inductor current down and begin ringing again, but now with different initial conditions. Now my new initial conditions are right here, MS on the M axis, but zero current. Okay. So we ramp down to this point. This is my new, let's get a different color. R2, and I'm going to begin ringing from this point. Which direction does my ringing go? Inductor current goes negative. Why?
The reason this is ramping down, right? Because VS is greater than V base. That's what I needed for this to be a clamping circuit, not something that turns on and destroys my operation. So, I mean, my initial voltage here is negative, and it's going to
begin going negative in this resonance. So now I resonate somewhere here. This radius R2. Yeah. In the time domain, what that's going to look like, I was at my peak voltage, so my voltage only reduces and stays under this VS clamping voltage, and my current rings out zero centered. Yes. If I wanted to sketch
a complete save plan of this converter
over an entire switching period.
I need this to form some closed contour.
The nature of that really depends on
if I assume this ringing doesn't damp out, when I turn the FET back on, where am I in this ringing?
So to simplify, maybe I'll say this ringing does die out. Say instead, I ring down, damp out, and my circuit steady out at this DC point.
And then the remainder of my period, what will happen is some point after this damps out, I'm going to turn the FET back on. That is going to be a hard switching transition, be one that potentially is limited by diode reverse recovery of that secondary diode so long.
It's going to somewhere, let's see, I assume this current dies down. This voltage is going to die down to VG plus V over N. And at some point here, I'll turn the FET back on. That's going to be a very lossy transition. And it's going to initially short me here, short out my voltage, and take over after any
switching transition, any diode or take over current.
The exact details of that curve depend on the dynamics during the switching transition, lossy overlap and things. Okay? Not well suited to use on a state plane. So we're looking at resonant transitions at some hard switching transition. Just wanted to point out that we are still hard switching in this flyback as it is CCM flyback. Somewhat of a side note. Okay, so I want to look at what the losses are in this clamping circuit. And I'll assume that I find a way to implement it exactly as I've drawn here. Just have some voltage source and a diode going towards it. The losses in this element are just however much current goes into that, average current times voltage, right? So what is the current that goes out into this element? Let's call it this IS, going back into the VS source.
So it's really this segment of my leakage inductor current, right? When that VS turned on, clamped with CDS, it's now taking the entire leakage current, pulling it until it ramps down to zero.
So if I this waveform, IS versus time, it's going to have a current that looks like this, where this peak value, I did not give a name, but it would be this J1, which would correspond to an I1. So the peak value is I1. That value I can solve from the state plane. So J1 equal to,
looking at this triangle here, R is JM, my normalized magnetizing current. This distance is my clamping voltage minus 1.
So I can say that this J1 squared is equal to JM squared minus MS minus 1 squared. And can denormalize this. I1 is my base J1. Get back into my
time domain numbers.
So if I know that, then what is the total energy that goes out into the VS supply source, call that ES. And that is the integral over one cycle of I sub S times VS dt, which is equal to VS times the integral of IS, which is some charge US, integral of this curve. So that's equal to VS times this curve here. The integral would be 1/2 base, call it some TS, times I1. TS, well, what is this? Well, I know this slope here. I labeled it on the previous slide, VG plus V over N minus VS over LL. And if I solve I1 from the state plane according to this, then I can say that the time is the height divided by that slope. So TS is going to look like I1 LL over VG plus V over N minus VS. This is a negative slope, so I need to either take the absolute value or do the negative of that. Okay. I think that's most of what we need. Let's look at some numbers. So I'm going to use, again, the previous example we had here. It's 400 to 10 volt, 100 watt, 1 megahertz flyback. I'm going to plug in and see what this loss looks like. So VG is 400. My V base, 800. R naught is 600. My IM is 500 milliamps. And so my I base, VG over R naught, is base over R naught is 8/6. So my, let's see here, this gives me a JM of the IM divided by I base, the 500 times 3/4. That's 0.375. No units in J, since I've normalized amps per amp. This is just a number. My VS is going to determine the behavior of this. This is something I haven't specified yet. It's up to me to select. My peak VDS was 800 volts. I'm going to be aggressive here, and I'm going to say let's clamp at 850 volts. This gives me an MS, 850 over 800. It's like 1.06. And my J1, JM squared plus MS minus 1 squared, I use these numbers, 0.37. And I can denormalize that to get back to I1 is 0.49 amps. Somewhat makes sense. If I clamp just a small voltage above my VG plus V over N, this interval is going to be very small, and my current I1 should be very close to IM. Almost no change here to go up just 50 volts. So taking those numbers, I'll solve TS from my equation over here on the left. Looks like 345 nanoseconds. So if I plug in everything here, my ES is equal to, and at this expression, VS, which is 850 volts, times 1/2, times TS, 345 nanoseconds, times I1, 0.49 amps. That comes out to be 72 microjoules. At my switching frequency from before, this is 72 watts. In my 100 watt converter. It's probably not going to help. I went pretty aggressive trying to clamp at 850. And I wanted to use a MOSFET, maybe rated just above what my ideal flyback peak voltage stress was. That's not going to happen for this design. In general, looking at it, my PS versus my VS, the voltage I clamp to, my options are between 800 and more or less 1100. 1100 being what the peak of the ringing was when I had no clamp at all. I should see that my power losses do something like this.
Yeah. So as an alternative method for calculating this energy loss, could you also effectively look at the difference between the radii and the state plane?
You cannot. And the reason for that is that during this clamping time, I have significant current coming from my source through the inductor through the calipers. So I'm losing more energy than just if I removed all the energy in the inductor. I'm actually using this inductor, much like I do in a buck converter, to hold the current flowing between two sources.
But if you take the current when the zener clamps, that is the change in the current during that time. See? From J1 to zero.
Right.
So isn't that the same energy that is lost in the zener?
And what was stored in the inductor as a result of that current? What was lost?
So that energy is all dissipated in the zener. Mm-hmm. Additionally, during this whole transition, more energy is supplied from the base. And that energy is also lost. Right? If I just shut this off, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe an easier way to think about it. So let's say I somehow got V base to be zero during this interval. Then I would just have this circuit through my LL through to VS.
Oh, LL would dump all into VS, but the voltage applied across this would be minus 850 volts instead of minus 50 volts.
So my waveform would look like this. I'd run the same calculation, look at the area of this thing, and there I would get just whatever energy the inductance had. But in the case I actually have in this circuit, that V base is still part of it. It's still, in addition to the inductor losing its energy, I have this triangle kind of V base all being supplied to the circuit during that interval. And 800 out of 850 of that energy is just dumped into VS.
But how is it dumped into VS without it going through the inductor? If it's coming from V base.
Let's go through the inductor.
Why isn't that reflected in the
statement? Here, this is not resonant. This isn't the inductor controlling its own current. It's biased by these voltage sources.
Right. I'll grade leniently. Okay. So that's that. Here we can see the more aggressive I want to get with my clamping, the more concerned I am with overvoltage, the more energy I'm going to pay as a penalty with this clamping setup. So implementations of this, to get away from my just ideal VS source, not have to create an additional voltage source, simple one that you saw on your homework, clamping diode and then zener to establish this VS. In this case, VZ is equal to VS, my clamping voltage. An alternate implementation would be to put a zener here, and clamping diode. I guess this is actually what you saw in the homework, right? VZ2. Now my VS is VG plus VZ2. This is the clamping voltage. The zener is only needing to dissipate part of that energy itself. The other half, so this leakage inductor current will go back through the zener and then recirculate here. We can somewhat reduce energy losses on the zener by getting down to a lower voltage zener. Other options commonly used are basically here. I can put a diode in this direction and then an RC. The concept behind this sort of a clamp, this VC, is that over one switching period, I'm going to lose an energy in this resistor equal to VC squared over R times the switching period, right? So the voltage on this capacitor, this is a now large cap. This is not a resonant element. This is something that's meant to provide a more or less DC voltage for my clamping. It's going to be continuously discharging due to this RC. And then every time the leakage inductance causes this clamping action to perform, it'll dump that leakage energy over into the cap. So I'll quickly jump up the capacitor voltage, and then it'll decay down through this RC. And eventually, this whole thing is going to balance when my energy supplied into this cap from this clamping action is equal to the energy dissipated over one period. Right. So I'm going to steady out with a constraint, something like PS, what I solved here, equal to VC squared over R.
So that energy balance is going to dictate what VC ends up being.
One issue with this type of clamp is this is going to steady out at different points depending on the power of the flyback, the output power, because LL is always going to be biased to the magnetizing current to start. So the amount of current at the beginning of the interval and thus the energy dumped out depends on the operating point. At very low output powers, you get very low energy dumped, but also kind of a wide swing. At high output power, this voltage will change. It'll go up much higher to keep that balance. So that's a somewhat dynamic VC. It changes with output power. It's designed so it has negligible ripple in one period, but it changes with operating point. Similarly, this one can also be implemented by doing a cap resistor clamping diode here. Same functional idea. It also switches the resistor down here, cap around. Basic idea is dump energy into a cap and dissipate it to get your balancing. Okay, so These are things which are common for the uninitiated. These are dissipative type snubbers. They're more band-aids than anything else. I've got a problem with my converter. How do I keep that from blowing it up? You guys, being the intelligent high-frequency power electronics designers that you are, can do much better. You can figure out a way to, instead of just clamping in a dissipative manner, clamp in a non-dissipative manner, simultaneously getting yourself soft switching, getting these nice characteristics out of the converter, and generating opportunity to employ more state plane analysis. So how do you do that? This one's teed up, softball. Okay, fine. Well, I'll get us started. The idea is basically I can use this cap like I did in this snubber implementation. But the problem with this, I needed to dissipate this energy because every cycle I dump some amount of energy over into that cap. And if I'm not dissipating any, the cap voltage is just going to climb each period until it eventually gets greater than VDS and does nothing. Right? So the problem is that I've got unidirectional current going to this cap, so its voltage can only increase. It's going to drop out of the circuit. If I can make the current going out to this cap zero average, then I can get it to steady out, control it at a voltage I want for my clamping. So the idea is going to be somewhat simple in circuit implementation. I'm going to use a FET here, and I'm going to control the current into that cap. I'm going to let it start as it was before. My capacitor current would be my IS current. I'm going to have this same kind of clamping triangle. I'm going to take that energy rather than dissipating it in a source. I'm going to store it in the cap. But I'm going to use the MOSFET to allow my current to go negative for an amount of time so I balance out that current to zero average. And then the capacitor isn't going to run away. I can clamp and simultaneously keep this capacitor balanced. Okay. So this is called active clamping. The flyback converter, this is one way to do it. Another option would be to do the same thing here and this switch. Have the same type of behavior. This ends up actually having to be a PMOS though, for this whole thing to work out and for the body diode to not ruin the operation. Or at least more commonly is implemented as a PMOS. Okay. So operation of this thing. Don't have much time for. Let's get started on it here. So if I look at, again, VDS of the MOSFET, the inductor current, and then I'm going to look at this capacitor current, basically this cap current here. I know I need that to be zero centered, zero average over the period in order for this thing to have any hope of balancing out. My operation is going to, the first couple intervals, look exactly the same for my FET turn off. I'm going to ramp up. I'm going to have a resonance with CDS. It's going to go up to some clamping voltage with my same VS, VG plus V over N. I'm going to clamp using this circuit. My assumption is going to be that, so we've done with some other elements, C, like LM, like let's call this CS, like C at the output, are my large filter elements. LL and CDS are my things which can have significant change within one interval. These are the resonant elements. So the difference here is going to be in the length of this clamping interval. In that, instead of, as before, this being a diode and my
leakage current ramps down to zero and then the diode passively shuts off,
what I'm going to allow is for this current to go to zero and then keep going negative by holding my extra MOSFET here, call it MS, on.
I'm going to allow this to go as negative as it was positive at the beginning of this interval.
That's going to do is cause my cap current to look like a better version of that. My capacitor current will look like this, and I have zero average current in my cap voltage. It has some negligible ripple on it, but it's going to be steady. Okay. So the idea here, again, my main FET turns off. Here, my D1 turns on. Here is where my clamp FET turns on. And really, if I implement this as shown, I don't have to have very precise timing for that FET turning on. This is kind of the same clamping action we saw before. C is more or less a constant voltage. When VDS rises up to that VS voltage, even if I haven't turned on MS yet, it's body valve will forward bias, it will clamp. I need to turn it on sometime before this current hits zero. I'm just conducting through the body diode, then it'll shut off. You're going to be back in the case I had before. Without that Zener diode or RC, it'll be unbalanced and the circuit will run away, have no clamping. So sometime before here, I turn on MS, the FET itself, and ride through this clamping interval, letting the capacitor current go all the way down to zero. At this point, I shut it off. So up to here is the clamping action. Okay, great. Do you buy everything I said? Sure, this is zero average. I can do it with just that cap. I'm not supplying any net energy into it because the average current is zero, so I have no clamping losses. But here's another great thing. When I shut this FET off, I'm going to now go back to my same resonance circuit, VG plus V over N, L, C, right? Same thing, once MS is shut off, this current's negative, so the diode doesn't turn on. But because this current is negative, what happens with this? Essentially, on my state plane, very quickly, gone through this same segment, same thing that we had here to start, but now I ramp down all the way negative, and when I release this thing again, I'm going to resonate over and get ZVS. So this is going to drop down in a nice resonant transition. This is going to come back up to IM. Now I've got a complete ZBS converter. Enjoy your weekend.